Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Lay back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, hour two here on the Best of the RP Show. It is episode number 46. I'm Darren DuPont, alongside producer Clark, as Rod is on holidays today. He'll be back in tomorrow on the Tuesday, but we're here now taking over, and we're giving you the Best of the RP Show. It is the best clips and the best segments from 45 episodes, just 45 episodes, and there are so many great moments, man. If you missed hour one, you missed the greatest segment in the history of Facebook Live when Rod talked about transitioning into the new job and said, well, now I'm the whore and the pimp.
Right. Because should we do the thing what Rod does? Is like, if you miss the first hour, grab the little white ball, go all the way back.
Oh, yeah.
I think I had to just do that.
He does it this way, too. He says, go back.
Right. Yeah.
I am not from Milestone. We should have taken a sign down and
put up a vineyard.
Should
have put a little cardboard thing over top of it that said
vineyard. Oh, genius.
When we get a full episode of Darren, we'll make it funny. We'll do it.
All right.
We'll do it.
Text line is open, 306-840-8777, the Prairie Mobile text line for Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel dealer. We want to flood that thing so that Rod, we'll see them all when he gets in tomorrow morning, and we'll read them on the air. So 306-840-8777, the Prairie Mobile text line. What other business do we got to get to? Houston, join us in Houston. Yes, we are going in December. The 5th to the 10th, we're going to see the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. The Houston Rockets will see in NBA action. We'll figure out their opponent when the schedule is released. I believe that's supposed to come out next week. So that's exciting. NCAA college football, I believe they're going to be in championship games, high school football, and potentially a trip to NASA. So that's exciting.
I think I'm looking more forward to the high school football than almost anything. I just want to see what it's like down there. I've heard so many things, seen so many movies.
Yes.
I just want to see some high school football.
You know what I'm looking forward to? And I found this out. Kirk Akrugo was in here just watching. He said Jay Leno is doing a comedy show. So I want to see Jay Leno. I know Rod's a Letterman guy.
Kansas is playing a concert there. The band Kansas.
Yes.
Like Carry On My Wayward Son.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas. They're there.
So
we'll see.
Lots going on in Houston. RodPeterson.com/trip to sign up. RodPeterson.com/trip. All the details, pricing, it's all there. You can also inquire about land deals. If you want to fly with your air miles that are burning a hole through your pocket, you can do that too. Just fill out the details and that'll start the ball rolling on joining us in Houston. Limited spots available. So you need to get on that fast because they're not going to be for sale. I don't think much longer. Maybe throughout a little bit of August here. And then it will be full. So that's exciting. Yeah, it was a jam-packed hour one of the program. Go back and watch it. Go back to a previous episode in the podcast. We had Jimmy Schimmel from Hobo Donuts. Craig McMorris was here. Ben Hebert from back on episode 9. And right now, maybe one of my favorite segments. We have the great video chat feature, which is awesome. And back on June 12th, episode 8, early on in the Rod Peterson Show's infancy, Kevin Glenn requested to you, Clark, to come on the show, and right, we had no idea why he wanted to come on.
Yeah, so he was kind of a hot topic subject because every time anybody mentioned, oh, this team X needs a quarterback, everyone on Twitter said, go get Kevin Glenn. Of course, he's there. He's obviously a good option. Go get him. So originally it was, yeah, he commented on something and I reached out to him and said, hey, we should get you on the show and just talk about your career and whatever. Maybe who's reaching out to you. Maybe if you sign a contract, you could announce it on our show. And he said, get me on the show. And I was like, okay. And he was very adamant. Get me on the show. I need to be on the show. You need me on the show. So I said, well, yes, absolutely. Let's do it as soon as possible. So we got it hooked up. He didn't tell me anything. He's just like, you know what? You'll be interested to hear what I have to say. And I said, okay, I'm sure I will be. And
Rod didn't know either.
We had no idea what was going to happen. He didn't tell us in advance. I thought it was going to be a contract announcement. Honestly, I thought I signed with the whoever's.
I didn't. I honestly thought he was just going to come on.
Yeah. And just a big tease. Like maybe he was just teasing us just because he wanted to be on the show. But what happened was pretty cool. And the way he did it was actually cooler than I was expecting. He was with his kids. He was in a classroom full of kids.
Don't tease it too much.
No, sorry. I'll let the rest. I'll go ahead. Do the thing.
Did you hear that, Jordan? Do the thing. We'll show you what happened.
I'm going to bring Kevin Glenn in right now, who has asked to come on the Rod Peterson Show here in show number 8. We're only 2 weeks into doing this thing. Kevin has asked to come on. He's got an announcement to make. It's his 40th birthday, and he is at his kids' school today. Clark, can you bring up Kevin Glenn to open the show? There they are, kids. KJ, happy birthday. Up, I don't know if you can even hear us. KG, listen.
I can hear you now, Ron.
Lordy, lordy, look who's 40. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Take it away.
So this is the thing. Everybody knows today is my birthday, which I turned 40. And the other thing that was supposed to be announced today is that I am officially retiring from the CFL.
Wow. So, cause for celebration, I guess.
And it's funny how it happened, because it was planned to do it on my birthday. And then it so happened that you guys contacted me yesterday, and I said, what better way to do it than to do it like this?
That's outstanding.
You just knocked me off my chair, because I am like millions of CFL fans that were ready to announce that you were signing with a team. You seem very at peace with this. Clearly, so do your children. So what went into this?
Yeah. My daughter right here had a big part to play in it, you know. So with that being said, she was like, Dad, it's about time. It's about time for you to hang the cleats up. So yeah, I am. I'm at peace with it. And like I said, I've told a couple of people, if they could have spent this offseason with me, they would have known what direction I was going in and leaning towards. But I also always said that, you know, if there was a good situation, I may have taken it. But right now I'm at peace, you know, and it's good.
Kevin, now, this kid
with all my children now.
Yeah, no kidding. He looks like a very happy guy as he announces his retirement. Most are not. But KG, they're gonna have their dad for the first summer of their lives. Clearly, they're aware of this.
The first summer here in Michigan, exactly. But this is the first time, this is the first time I've had a chance to actually spend my birthday with them too. So it's a lot of firsts, you know, but they've always came up to whatever city I was playing in. I think that's the one thing that my son, I think he's going to miss, because he loves coming up to Canada for the summers, you know,
and going to all the
university camps and stuff. So it's going to be a little different, but at the same time, we can always come visit, you know.
Okay, Canada, so football question in a moment, but tell me what you're doing at your kid's school. Let's get the kids into this.
Here we go. So they have a celebration of learning. You go ahead, Caleb. Tell them. They got a celebration of learning to where throughout the year they study a certain thing. And then this day they bring they invite all the parents here, and then they actually get to perform and talk about all the things that they study throughout the course of the year. So Caleb, tell them what you guys study this for this celebration of learning.
For this,
Caleb, go.
This year for our celebration of learning, we told the parents what we've done in Unit 1 and Unit 2 about the Revolution War. About the Revolution War.
Was it fun learning it?
Yeah.
Was it fun learning it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else think it was fun learning it?
It was fun! Yay! Yay!
And we did a play on it.
So, Dio, what was your celebration learning for? About?
My celebration learning is when... It's like we was working on birds, and I'm in the pelican group, and I know that pelicans have big pouches. Sometimes they fly and they go get their prey.
Good job. So
she knows her stuff.
They do. They're really into it. I mean, their mom's an educator, so it has to be like that.
So I've never heard of this in Canada. Maybe we can adopt this up here in the Great White North, KG. But at 1 o'clock Eastern, when you do this, or what is it going to be? Whatever time it is, 3 p.m. Eastern, is the whole gym full? What happens?
But basically, they do it by different grades. So actually, the fourth grader, which is my son, they've already actually been this morning, I think at like 9:30. So my daughter hasn't performed yet. Hers is at 1 o'clock. So we're Eastern time. So we're waiting. We have another, an hour or so before she actually gets the chance to present her things. So she's told everybody else what they're going to actually talk about. So they already know. But a couple of parents, me being a parent that's kind of involved, I kind of knew what was going on beforehand.
Last question before I let you get back to the kids. How would you like to be remembered for your career in football?
You know what? I think kind of how I played throughout all these different CFL teams. And I know I seen a sign up on the back of your wall that said the ambassador. And that's kind of what I compare my – that's what I kind of say about myself, to where I've been in every city. I know there's two different places where I never got a chance to put on the uniform, but I was actually affiliated with the team. But 18 years and being in the CFL, I just consider myself the ambassador, where there's any and everything in these cities that I can talk about. One thing is that – Kevin Glenn was always a great teammate. It didn't matter whether or not I was a starter, if I was the backup, if I was hurt. There was times where I was hurt, wasn't playing, and I still was at the meetings on time, still helping the guys out, still making sure that the younger guys were put in the position, you know, to be successful. So always remembered as a teammate, because that's what this sport is about. The sport is the ultimate teammate sport, and that's what I would like to be remembered as.
Well, you are. And you and I have been knowing each other since 2001. You are always been a first-class act, long before these kids were even around.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and we know that you're going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, and a lot of people wanted to know what you were referring to on your tweet last week about quarterback analysis. I don't think today's the day. Maybe we'll have you answer in another time.
Oh, we can talk about it. That's some of the stuff that I've been doing this offseason is, you know, training the youth. High school and college kids, and it's just one of those things where I've seen, you know, meeting some of these young kids to where you get them and they start telling you things about a person who's actually training them and what they're telling them, and it's just sometimes it's sad, you know, that some people can prey on young children and families who or parents who don't actually know what's going on. So that's my thing. My thing is to try to bring some transparency to this whole. It's a fad that's going on with this quarterback training thing. I mean, everybody's getting into it. So it's kind of something that I've been you know, dibbing and dabbing into in this offseason.
Are you going to coach then? What's next for Kevin Glenn?
I don't know. Possibly. That's something to look forward to. My biggest thing was knowing that this was going to come. I didn't want to jump right into the same routine of being away from the family. I wanted at least, you know, that first year to be at home, be around the family, and, you know, actually have a chance to see my kids on my birthday, you know? Because if I would have went into coaching, I probably wouldn't be here right now. I'd probably be up there in the CFL.
That's a very good point. Well, KG, I will say on behalf of the CFL, thanks for everything. You are an ambassador. You're going to the Hall of Fame. Go enjoy your birthday, and thank the kids for being part of the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You want to say something? Hold on. Hold on, my son Caleb said he
want to
say something.
I want to say that the people that are watching this, they might see me in the CFL.
Can't wait.
You have
a question?
Okay, so my daddy works really hard on his career, so I just want to say a big happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, KG. Thanks, my man. Stay close.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right.
One of the greatest moments we've had on the show, Kevin Glenn. Congratulations. What a wonderful CFL career, a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion, and I know a lot of yours, too. So thanks to Kevin Glenn for coming on. Way back, when was it? Episode 8, June the 12th. That was a lot of fun as we welcome you back in, the Best of the RP Show, Darren DuPont alongside producer Clark. The next clip we're going to get to comes from Episode 30, 1 month later, actually, to the day, from June 12th to July the 12th.
It's our second clip from episode 30 also, if you look at it.
Yes.
Craig McMorris was on from episode 30 as well.
This is earlier in episode 30, actually. Yeah. This came before Craig McMorris. We were joined in studio by Chris Getzlaff, and I was sitting right next to him. He was in your chair, I believe, and I was in chair number two. And on the video chat, we had rider legend Darian Durant. And how cool was it to have Darian Durant and Chris Getzlaff on at the same time? I'll ask you this. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite Darian Durant moment?
Darian Durant moment. I think you have to go to the 2013 Grey Cup and just that whole game. I was there with my cousin. We were sitting up in the very top temporary bleachers. We got tickets last minute. Just that whole game, how dominant that team was. Just crisp. Everything was working. And then obviously just everybody was a fan together, and what a, that was just nuts. That was
unbelievable
nuts.
Moment. I remember, was it Calgary before that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the road.
Yeah.
BC game, using his legs.
Yeah.
I mean, those memories are what we grew up with and how we fell in love with this team. And they've just been coming in and flooding the Rod Peterson Show with guests. So congratulations to you for that, for setting this up. It turned into a wonderful moment between Darian Durant and Chris Getzlaff. The other one I remember is him saying goodbye to Old Mosaic. That was a cool moment, too. But they connected here on the Rod Peterson Show back on episode 30.
By the way, here's a guy that knows a little bit about quarterback play, and you guys can put your headphones on as we're going out on the video chat line. And Darian Durant joins us from Eastern Canada. He's got the Tar Heels hat this morning. How you doing, Doubles?
Doing good, doing good. Felt like repping the squad this morning. So how's everything going?
It is good. It's hot out here, probably the same as where you are as well. So I just want to bring you in on the discussion that I had with Getz. I said, he probably caught more touchdown passes from you than anybody else. And he said, no, it was number 7. Can you settle that tie and talk about that a bit?
Who is it? First of all, who has the win?
Well, he thinks it's Dressler. I thought it was Getz. He says it's a slam dunk that it's Dressler caught more touchdowns from you than Getz did.
I don't know. I think Getz caught a lot of big plays from me while Dress did a lot of the dirty work underneath. So, we have to go to the stat book and find out what's definite on that.
Well, you've given me something to do for the rest of the day. Now it's driving me nuts. Darian, what about? I know you're watching these Rider games. Cody Fajardo, best 2-game start in Saskatchewan football history for a quarterback making his Rider debut. That includes you, Austin, Joseph, Lancaster. Wow. What'd you think when you saw this guy shooting the lights out?
I was happy for him, first and foremost. I mean, you know, for a young guy to come in and do what he's done, it's phenomenal. People don't understand how hard it is to play quarterback in the CFL, and for him to have that type of success, I was happy for him. But on the flip side of things, I do understand that, and Getz can attest to this, that when you're playing against some of those Eastern teams early in the season, you feel like those are games you should have. And those are games you should have a lot of success in. So the West is a different animal, as we all know. So him doing it against the East, yeah, I was happy to see it. But I really want to see what he can do against these Western teams.
Darian, I know Rod's going to get into some other things too, but we've been talking a lot about Cody Fajardo early in the season. It was Isaac Harker who was the number 3 coming in. What do you remember about your time coming into the league and the process, you know, who you were behind, what you learned to make you ready to be a starting quarterback? Because the fans, they all want to rush the guy in and be the star. But when I look at the great quarterbacks, you know, Anthony Calvillo, even Doug Flutie when he came up here, you, it feels like, no, it takes some time and you have to learn the game. And it's not that easy when guys say, well, no, the only way to learn is to play.
No, I disagree. I think a lot of the guys, a lot of your better guys that have come across the CFL definitely have to pay their dues and sit behind some great quarterbacks and just learn the ropes. Myself, personally, I sat behind Rock. When I first came in, it was Rocky Butler as the 3. And then coming into camp, it was Marcus Crandall and Kerry Joseph competing for the starting job. So you look at Marcus and Kerry, you know, here are two of the smarter guys on the cerebral side of the game. They taught me the ropes that way. You know, I had a little bit more athletic ability than Marcus. So, you know, learning how to, when to run, when to sit in the pocket and make decisions, I had two of the best guys to sit back and learn after. And when I got that opportunity, and I'm sure Eric Tillman felt the same way, that's why he traded Kerry. You know, he felt like I had paid my dues. I had waited behind some great quarterbacks, and it was time to go. So I believe that for any quarterback, if you can play behind a veteran that's had some success, who can show you the ropes, teach you how to read coverages, it makes it a lot easier when it's your opportunity.
Getz, you got anything for doubles this morning? And you got to go right away, so you got anything to say to your old teammate?
I'm good for a few minutes yet, so.
You want to think? Okay, good.
No, doubles on here. I see a question there. You want me to answer that question?
Yeah, the question is from Jesse Robson. Hey, Chris, what is the most memorable catch you caught from Double D? You want to answer that one?
Yeah, I mean, I got one that always stands out in my mind. There was obviously quite a few big ones, but I'm going to go back to the Calgary game. Yeah, 2009, I got my first actual start as a four-man rotation, and we're in Calgary. We're down by six with, I think it was a minute 29 left, and doubles threw me a ball over the middle for a 60-yard touchdown, and we ended up winning the game by one. And that kind of really kick-started my career as being a full-time starter.
Doubles, what do you remember about that play?
The thing I remember most is just the communication we had, not even the play itself, but just how we've practiced throughout the years. You go back to 2007, myself and Getty, we were going against the Grey Cup winning defense all year. You know, we kind of prepped ourselves for this opportunity. And, you know, we would talk coverages and talk if we would get in a situation in the game, what we would do, you know. So the chats that we had leading up to that play is what I remember most. And it just worked so many times in our career. I can just look back and everything just works out how you talk about it, from film study to how a DB is going to play his leverage, all of that stuff. So on that play, it's just all about the communication beforehand. You know, me saying, hey, Getty, if they give us zero right here, I'm going to put this ball on the backside hash. You just go get it. And for things to work out like that, it's just perfect.
Somebody wrote into here the other day that the Rough Riders' quarterback position's been in a state of flux since the the Banjo Bowl of 2016? 2014. 2014! That's 5 years ago, Darian. They haven't replaced you. And your career was never the same after either. Do you think about that day much anymore? Or have you moved? Because clearly they're still thinking about it around here.
No question. I think about it all the time. One of my good friends, Tristan Jackson and Terrell Mays, they always make a joke. You know, we could have still been playing if you wouldn't have went down in Winnipeg that day. And just for it to all happen on a play that was blown dead, that's just that what makes it even more frustrating. Just how you could just lose so much and how things could just go downhill so fast after one play. And, you know, just looking back on it, I made some questionable decisions myself in my career. You know, of course, hindsight is 20/20 for any athlete. But at the end of the day, I do feel like things went downhill right after that.
Wayne in BC watching this morning, he's out in Victoria. He says, hey, Darian, is coaching in your future? I'm sure you're asked that every day, but I want to just examine that a little further. Somebody brought up how Calgary's had this quarterback train forever. And it's Huffnagel and Dickinson running the show out there. And I think it might take a quarterback to identify a quarterback, in which case maybe you should be in personnel or coaching or something. You must be thinking about it.
No question. It's always been a dream of mine to get into personnel. So I don't think I want to coach. You know, I'm past the part of, you know, being on the field and dealing with the X's and O's of that nature. But I really do feel like I have a great eye for talent, whether it's scouting or whether it's player personnel, you name it, just front office. That's definitely a dream of mine. So just at this point in time, you know, I just had my girls. So I just want to spend a little time with them, be home and just sit back and relax and let the football phase of my life just go away a little bit, because I still get the itch. But, you know, personnel is definitely something that I want to pursue in the near future.
Well, you look good. You look relaxed. You lost any of the under here. And, you know, your buddy G-Roy is crushing it out there in BC. He's loving this personnel thing. So I would assume that when you're ready to do it, the offers will be there.
The thing you have to do with that is make sure you find a good situation. You know, time after time, you see guys, you know, leave teams, get in certain situations, and then a year or two later, they're, you know, they don't have a job. So if you look at that Calgary situation, there's just so much stability at the top. You have coaches each and every year deciding that they want to stay on the staff instead of pursuing head coaching opportunities elsewhere. You know, that's how you know, secure they have that train that they're running. So you definitely want to wait on a good situation, and that's what I'm waiting on.
Anything else for doubles before we let him go? And you, Getz, got a roll too. Anything for your boy?
No, just a pleasure getting on here and chatting with you, Dabs. Been a minute.
How's it been? How you been?
Been great, man. Just been working good. And golfing for the most part. That's life.
Nice. I'll be out there next month. We'll definitely be able to chat
yeah,
it
we
up.
We got link up for sure then.
All right, doubles. Great job. You look great. Enjoy your Friday, and let's do it again. Continued success in your world. I'm glad that it's going so well.
Thanks, man. Take care. Happy for you.
All right. Appreciate it. Darian Durant, video chat from the T Dot this morning. And by the way, Getz, before I let you go, you talk about business and so forth. Lady Getz, the wonderful Tia Getz Laugh, who loves this show. She told me she loves it. She loves being able to watch on Facebook. She's crushing it, too, in the business world.
Yeah, she's booming. She's got a online store. It's doing really, really well. And actually, she has her studio space actually open for today and tomorrow for a sidewalk sale. So it's down on Smith and 11th.
Smith and 11th, Lady Getz, Ladies Apparel. What's she doing?
It's mostly, like you said, ladies apparel, mostly casual wear. She does have a few different accessories as well, but primarily focused on ladies apparel and comfortable wear.
Sidewalk sale. Today and tomorrow?
Today and tomorrow, yep. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I believe.
All right, good stuff. Well, we got a lot out of you today. A lot of analysis, Getz, so thank you for that. Appreciate every time you can stop by, and have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
D Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Back inside the bunker here in Western Canada. On a holiday Monday, Rod Peterson away. I'm Darren DuPont taking over the RP show. And we're bringing you the best of the RP show today. Best of the first 45 episodes. The Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. Join us. Fill up that phone. Rod will see all those texts. It's a direct text line to Rod, 306-840-8777. And he'll read those all tomorrow morning. I want to have it full for him. We do not have a daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, but we will tomorrow. So if you have suggestions for a Tuesday morning poll, start sending those in too on the text line, or you can send them in on our Facebook feed here on episode number 46, bouncing all over the place as we do. Famous number 46s in episode 46, Andy Pettit, Jorgen Hughes of the Riders, one of the all-time really great guys. And man, that guy's been gifted every gift in the gene pool, man. But wonderful human being, and so that's why he's down as one of the best to wear 46. And I know we're taking yours in the Facebook feed. Durant Getzlaff, Kevin Glenn, that was a big segment to kick off hour two here in the Best of the RP show, alongside producer Clark, who's full time on the show today. Is you're not producer Clark today, producer Jordan is manning the controls, but yeah. A big issue on the Rod Peterson Show, Clark, has been attendance. It's been not just a Rod Peterson Show topic. It's been a CFL topic. It's and been it's been a sports
in general topic.
Yeah, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've gone so... Do you think it's an issue?
I think it's got to a point where... I think it came up on this clip, actually, maybe. But on the show, we've talked about it a lot. Just the amount of different options that people have now for watching certain things, and even if they want to go to a game or watch, or like, for example, we talked about the BC Lions. I think actually John Lynch was talking about it when we had Brian Walrishin on the show last week, and basically what Brian was saying on our video chat was for people in Vancouver, for example, to drive downtown to BC Place, find parking, pay for tickets, pay for food at the game, they'd rather just sit at home. Yeah. And there's a kind of a hurdle that teams have to find or get over now to add value to their games, where people want to make all that extra effort to go, or find ways to help people get there easier, or whatever it happens to be. So yeah, anyways, we had Pat Fiacco on the show, and he touched on that topic and a lot of other topics as well. But I thought what he had to say was actually really powerful, and I think he spoke for a lot of people in this province with what he had to say.
Well, his big thing, yeah, is bringing the community together. I think that's so important. And Pat, he's done that for a lot of years. Rod calls him Canada's toughest mayor, former mayor of the city of Regina. He's a wonderful guy. He's a people person, too, and bringing people together is what... teams need to do. I think you got to connect with your community, got to connect with your fan base, and find new and interesting ways to do that. But the underlying message, you got to put the work in and get the boots out on the pavement. So in this segment, Best of the RP Show, we rewind back to episode 35, July 19th. Pat Fiacco bringing the fire.
We welcome to the program Pat Fiacco, a man who needs no introduction to these viewers, these folks, these live studio audience. Good morning, Pasquale. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Nice to be here. Nice to see you.
A couple legends here.
One legend with John.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
Well, you know,
you're my favorite Mary. You know that.
breaking news, by the way. Breaking news coming in courtesy Mike Booth on our Facebook feed. Sook Chung will be out for the BC Lions tomorrow. Could be a long night for Mike Riley
and that offensive line.
So that's the news as the Lions and the Riders released their rosters this morning for the game. And Pat had said, could he come on the program to talk boxing? And I said, not only are you coming on to talk about boxing, you're coming on to talk about everything, Pat. So let's start with the game tomorrow night. What's your take?
Well, I think based on the circumstances that you've just talked about, but just in general, I think the Riders are getting better every game. They're gelling, and I think it's going to be a Rider victory.
Mm-hmm. Well, who knows, though? I mean, two teams with two wins between the two of them. You're a smart guy. You've seen the pressure on both game, clubs here. Yeah.
Home game.
Is that the difference, do you think, being at home?
Absolutely. Let's hope we get a good turnout, that there's a lot of bums in the seats, because that's really, really important. But yeah, I think the Riders are going to listen. They've had a week off.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be fresh.
A week to sit in the stink of the 37-10 home loss to the Calgary Stampeders, by the way. So, yeah, it's must win, and I think the Riders will win tomorrow night as well. But you mentioned the crowd. I would suggest there's no excuse for that stadium not to be sold out. It is a 5 o'clock Saturday start. The weather should be beautiful. That's the ideal start time, is it not?
It's a perfect start. And listen, it's the only professional sport we have in this province. And, you know, it's not a 50,000 seat stadium. It's 35,000. And there's no reason other than, you know, there's talk in the community. And I think the Rider brass needs to pay very close attention to what fans are saying, what the community is saying. There doesn't seem to be that same engagement that we had a number of years ago.
Why is that?
That is a great question. I believe that the culture of the organization has changed. The culture has changed from what was a community-based team. Now, it still is a community-based team, but it's being run a bit differently. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I base anybody's decisions on results. And I don't think, I had a boss one day tell me years ago, do not ever confuse effort with results. I think the effort is there, but they're not getting the results. And I honestly believe that this isn't Toronto, this isn't Montreal, this is Saskatchewan. And the success of the Riders has always been ensuring that the community is engaged and involved. And the players have to really take that into consideration and also be involved in the community. And I'm just hearing that there's not enough of that happening. And as a result, you're not going to get the support that's required.
Because historically, they fill the park, win or lose, because they want to come watch their team.
Always.
Right?
And it's a fun environment, and people like that. But it does have to be fun. Winning certainly makes it fun. But I think getting to know the team personally, by ensuring that those players are engaged in the community, that the leadership is engaged in the community, you know, winning doesn't happen in the boardroom. It happens on the field, and it happens with ensuring that your entire community is engaged and is having fun. And if you quit listening to who is supporting you, then you might as well shut the doors.
Mm-hmm. Mark Rathwell, you know him?
I've heard of him.
He is writing in on the Facebook wall. Maybe you've seen it. How great was the mayor's former senior advisor to work with? Oh, wait. Maybe don't answer that. Glad to see the mullet on my former boss flowing nicely. Mark coming out firing this morning.
Yes, it's okay. It's okay. I'll get him later.
You're making mullets great again, Pat. You always have.
It's what's wrong with the mullet?
Never has
what
been anything wrong.
What is wrong with the mullet?
Who is your barber? Because I've asked my barber for a mullet. And she's like, no, won't do it. No.
I'm going to tell you a quick story here. In 1980, a gentleman by the name of Roberto Ricci moved to Regina.
Marco's dad?
No.
Okay.
Not even that side of the Ricci family, a different Ricci
okay.
family. And married a good friend of mine, and he was a barber. And he has been cutting my hair since 1980. Now, prior to that, It was Dominic Carteri on 13th Avenue, of course,
at my
Italian barbershop. He used to sport a pretty good fro himself, nice mullet. Of course, we all get older and we all start losing.
Some do. Some pay for more and grow it themselves.
Hey, whatever works.
Whatever works, yeah. Pat never been afraid to make his own style, there's no doubt. Now, you talk about the stadium. Obviously, I was with you from day one of that whole little seed. You know, yourself, Brad Wall, I credit you specifically and Brad shortly thereafter with this. So when you sit in there, and I know you're very close with Jim Hobson, and Hoppy says, you know, when you sit in there, he says it's exceeded what you guys had hoped for the experience, the way it's turned out. What do you think when you sit in there, when you're not in your mayoralty role here anymore?
Well, you know, doing a tour prior to any activity in there was fantastic. But to actually sit down And, you know, to be able to walk around the entire concourse, I mean, that in itself is an event. You're meeting everybody. You're watching everyone having a good time. People are greeting each other. The food outlets are great. Some people complain about the cost, but listen, it's the cost of doing business. It's part of paying for entertainment. But the stadium itself, as Jim said, it has surpassed any expectation. It is a first class stadium, and I think it is and I'm not just saying this because it's Regina. It is the best stadium and the best fan experience in all of Canada.
Dallas writing in from Phoenix Group this morning. Thanks for your support with the stadium. Mayor Pat, going to games makes you feel like you aren't even in Regina, which sounds like an insult, but it's not, because I know the feeling. I say the same thing.
Well, you know what? I tell you what. I think that, and I'm going back here now a few years, but when we were able to nail the Rolling Stones for their show and then two shows, somebody said to me, they pulled me to the side at the Rolling Stones concert, or was after the concert, and said, you know, I think Regina grew up this weekend. And I said, well, explain that to me. He said, no one would ever have thought that the Rolling Stones, first of all, would play in Regina. Second of all, would play two shows at 50,000 capacity.
And not cheap tickets.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
But I think it was at that stage where people in Regina and Saskatchewan, and frankly in the country, realized that, you know, Regina's kind of a cool place to be. And the Stones being here was a bit of a kick in the butt to all of us to be able to push the ball over the goal line, so to speak, in regards to the stadium.
Which touched off Bon Jovi, which touched off Paul McCartney, which touched off AC/DC, and I guess now Garth Brooks this summer, our first major stadium country act, which
The Eagles during, unfortunately,
yeah, what are they, classic rock? What would you call
them? A bit of everything. Eh?
Yeah, they are. Well, it was an awesome show, though. Did you go?
I was there. I got soaked, but it didn't matter. I enjoyed it.
The music was amazing.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with the Eagles.
Yeah. Now, having said all of that, when you rolled out, because I've been at all your news conferences for everything. Remember when you announced you were going to be mayor, mm-hmm. and it was at the Ramada, and you came out with Rocky music,
Rocky.
Blah, 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 and there's balloons all over the place.
And the tiger.
That was when Trent Fraser came on my radar as a guy. I didn't really know Trent before that. He would go on to great marketing things with the Riders. But anyways, I've been at all those news conferences that you've held. And the one that you had about the new stadium was retractable roof on dude knee. I don't know if it was behind the casino or whatever it was. How did it go from that to what we have? And why did it go from that to what we have?
Well, there was a number of factors. And, you know, it's good to have the vision. And everything starts with a dream. Everything starts with a vision. And then you've got to decide, okay, let's put the business plan together. Let's look at the feasibility study. What's going to work? What's not going to work? It became very clear that the amount of space that was required to build what we wanted, it was too small. Ideally, I would have loved to have it at the old CP rail line container yards, but the space wasn't big enough to accommodate the stadium. That space can accommodate something else that I still believe in. We'll talk about that in a minute. So then we talked about the retractable roof. And I know that 50% of the people want a retractable roof, 50% don't. It came down to cost, operating cost. To have that roof over a facility, whether it's permanent or temporary, your utility costs are going to go way up. And I think that maybe someday we could do something like that. But frankly, for what we're using the stadium for, it serves its purpose today. Economically speaking, we had to keep that in mind as well. Money doesn't grow on trees. And it's not like we have a private investor like they do in the U.S. Now, it's a totally different economic situation there as far as tax write-offs are concerned. But as far as ownership of the stadium, it's the community that owns this stadium. The Riders don't own it. The community owns it. And we have to keep that in mind, too, as far as the operating costs. It's got to be sustainable.
Well, I'll say it again. I hope it's full tomorrow because it's a 5 o'clock kickoff. It's supposed to be a sunshiny day, mid-20s. If you're not going tomorrow, when are you going?
Well, and it's going to be a Rider victory. I encourage all Rider fans, if you've been there before, go again. And if it's your first time, make sure you get a chance to try this amazing experience at the new stadium.
laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right. I've been waiting. I've been waiting over an hour to ring the bell. I don't know if I was allowed to ring the cowbell. Rod might cut my hands off tomorrow morning when he gets back in for touching the cowbell. He'll know. Fingerprints will be on it.
Yep.
He'll be dusting it. But we had to ring the cowbell one more time. It's so loud in your ears. But it is time for Rod's Rant for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Yes, we've been doing, Rod has opinions, and he tends to rant. So much so, Bronco said, we want to sponsor it. And so this is the best of Rod's Rant. I believe there's two.
This was a double feature one, this one. This was from, which show was it?
Episode 37.
Yeah, there was a couple hot topics on that day, and he came in. He came into the studio that morning just buzzing.
Seething.
He was buzzing. Something was up, and we didn't know exactly what, but he said, I'm going to do two rants in the warm-up. Get ready. And he was about to ring the bell.
And you know what's interesting? Is these rants aren't planned. We don't have a scripted rant. Hey, I got to come up with Rod's rant today. What's it going to be? No, it happens, and it's Clark's job to be like, sounds like a rant.
Yeah.
Put the stamp on it.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, put the stamp on it. Rod's rant is coming right away here for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. We'll go all the way back. He said episode 37, back on July 23rd. Here's Rod with Rod's rant.
It's a very clean program today. You know, not a lot of in and out, not a lot of video chat. It's clean. We got Stampeders and Riders alum Marshall Hamilton and Wes Cates coming in. Marshall can add Ticats to his bio as well. And he's over there on the sponsors couch, which I understand we will have sponsors in here today. Actually, we got new sponsors. I don't know if I told you. We will be reading those as the program goes along.
Exciting.
I'm a little frazzled, as you can probably tell. My mind's racing in different directions. Not in a bad way, but the day started really early for me, up and on the air with TSN 1260 Edmonton Radio with Dustin Nielsen and Lieutenant Eric for a recap of week 6 in the CFL. Everybody's asking about Gainer the Gopher, of course. And then I was on the radio in Lloydminster after that. Try to sneak a workout in with his new phone. My Evolution Fitness app doesn't work, right? Yeah. It's just, everything's happening. None of it's bad. Just saying, late getting in here, later than normal. And we will have on video chat today, David William Naylor of TSN, CFL insider from TSN, Dave Naylor. So that's cool. This morning's news, a lot of things that I want to get to today. Calgary's getting a new arena. Bravo, Calgary.
Yep.
I think we all agree. $550 million structure for the Flames only, but also the Hitmen and the Roughnecks. But the Stampeders, last I checked, won't be playing there, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So the Stampeders continue to be the neglected stepchild of the Calgary sports landscape. But I get it. The Flames are the priority there. That's the way that it goes.
Mm-hmm.
We will get to the Gainer thing in a moment. I was sent this morning a note that you gotta check the latest video from the YouTube sensation Destroying. You're familiar with him, right?
Yeah, but somewhat.
This is the Argos third string kicker / punter. I don't even know his name. I just know him by Destroying. And this, I got sent a note, said, you got to watch this. He's ripping the CFL. This Argos punter. I'm like, oh boy, what's this going to be? I got sucked into watching the 15-minute video. This is a YouTube sensation. A lot of people know what I'm talking about. A lot of people do not. He's a YouTube star. He's kicking for the Argos, allegedly. 7 minutes in, I almost shut it off, but I'm like, I've gone this far. I got to watch it all. He's complaining about being the third string kicker for the Argos, the amount of money that he's making or not making on the practice roster of the Argos, how he's being mistreated and abused by the Argos. And I'm like, welcome to life, brother.
Yeah.
Like, what? I wrote a few notes. Well, I didn't write a lot of notes down. I can just go off the top of my head here. If you were better than you actually are, you'd be the first stringer. Let's just start there. Two, he said that he's only on the Argos, he thinks, allegedly, because of his YouTube followers and Instagram followers. He said that he took them from 75,000 followers, the Argos account, to 125,000, and that's why he's there. So what? Corey Chamberlain refers to him as YouTube, almost like the coach doesn't even know my name.
Hey, YouTube.
Hello. You're lucky that you're even there. If it's that bad, then quit. As Sam Mitchell, right, the Raptors coach, former coach said, do us all a favor and quit. Go down and get a job, and I will guarantee you, you won't have 500,000 views of your job at the car wash. They're there because you're a pro football player. You know, at various times through this video, he's saying, but I'm grateful, but I'm grateful. No, you're not. You're just saying that, but you're not. And then he said that he was kicking in a game and how the ball, he thought he made the field goal, and the referees looked at each other and waved it off. And he goes, if that was a home game, it would have counted. What? Now you're questioning the integrity of CFL official referees. See, I'm getting worked up. I knew when I came in here I was going to get worked up. So, again, if it's that bad, quit. Welcome to life. Welcome to pro sports, entertainment, whatever you're going to be used, abused, mistreated, taken advantage of. But you get into it knowing that. It's fun.
Yeah.
And when it stops being fun, that's when you need to leave. And I've got so many young broadcasters saying the same thing to me. Some young athletes, young people in various industries saying the exact same thing. Welcome to life. Go do something else if it's that bad.
There's a couple of things. Like with that, it's tough because there's a reason that he's noticed and that he's getting the opportunity. And if he wants to be a pro football player, understand that there's a lot of kickers out there who can kick the football. They come through college all the time. They come through the CFL. They come through Canadian college and, you know, down in the States, and they're all capable. But there's a reason that he was picked. And maybe it's because of his kicking. But sure, his YouTube and Instagram following and social media stardom might be a big part of it. They might see an alternate benefit to keeping him here, much like we keep Canadians on certain rosters because there's a benefit because you have the right passport in this league. And, that's the way it is. If you want to be a football player, don't complain about it. Use that. No. Understand that, hey, that's why I'm here. But then try and prove yourself that, you know what, I'm more than a YouTube star. Yeah, you see that right now, but I can kick the football. It's trying to have it both ways. Well, I'm a YouTube star and I raise their social media and I should be getting paid for that because my YouTube stuff, you know, makes me this much money. And they're only paying me for football. Well, if you want to be a football player, sometimes that's what you have to do. Understand that, okay, circumstance brought you here, but if you want to prove it, you got to prove it on the field.
If it's that bad, leave. And producer Clark is telling me on the monitor, Donald Delahaye is his name. So, by watching the video, and I said to the guy that sent it to me, I said, clearly he's a funny guy. I think he's a nice guy. I'm sure if I knew him, I'd like him. But stop complaining. Because your video is exactly what's wrong with your generation. Which brings me to Last Chance U. I started watching it last night. I actually stumbled upon it while trying to find Homeland, which we're in season 5 of. You haven't watched Last Chance U yet?
I've seen a little
bit
of it.
Marshall likes it. I'm actually shocked. Marshall's pumping his fist over there like he's the engineer of a train. I liked it. I didn't love it. We got about 20 minutes into the first. By the way, I found it very confusing to find season 1, episode 1. It was all over the place. This is section 4, part 3. What? Where am I starting here? It was cool enough, but it was, again, why do I not care for Corner Gas? Lived it. Why do I not care for Last Chance U? Lived it. They got combines in cornfields, and then they cut to the field with guys doing reps. It's no different than here. Combines in wheat fields, guys doing reps. I get it's cool to watch. Seen it millions and millions of times. Spitting Chiclets, same thing. Everybody's all the rage about that podcast. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I've seen it a million times. If I want to hear two hockey guys swearing and spitting on the floor, I'll go down to an adult safe game or go do the SJHL finals again or whatever. You know, yeah. That's all. I know it's very popular, and I think the coach is hilarious. Jason Brown, I think he's outstanding. But I don't know that I'll watch it again. We got 20 minutes in, and my wife's like, can we put it on Homeland now? So we did. Gainer the Gopher. I'm very disappointed in the Riders that they would send out a statement admonishing their Gopher for saying that he crossed the line Saturday against the BC Lions with his stuffed toy. And let me just get into a mini rant. You don't have to tag this for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, but you can if you want. People are ripping me on social media for even covering the Gaynor situation. Listen! Since Saturday's game, I've had two columns posted on my website at rodpeterson.com. My 10 things of all of week six of the CFL, plus the Out of the Tunnel column going deep into the Riders-Lions game for reaction. But you talk about Gaynor the Gopher, and everybody's running around like their hair's on fire. You get it. We're in the click business. We got sponsors coming in here. What are your numbers? What are your numbers? What are your numbers? Oh, but it's great content. They don't care. They want numbers. And the actual football columns get 1/100th of the reaction of any of this Gaynor stuff. So I feel sorry for Gaynor. It's one of the things I said on Lloydminster Radio this morning. He's been fat shamed by his own club. Now he's been disciplined by his own club. And what did he ever do? Habitually voted the number one mascot in the CFL. It's for a reason, brother. It's for the things that he does on the field, like what he did with the BC Lion toy the other night. And now you're changing him. What are you guys doing? I don't understand what you're doing. And the Swift Current Broncos last night won the internet with a video that they posted out there where Charlie Horse, their beloved mascot, took a tiger, stuffed tiger, of course, their top rivals, the Medicine Hat Tigers, if you don't know, and put on Twitter and said, with all due respect to Gaynor, this is how you tame a cat. And they picked the thing up and launched it 20 rows onto the ice. It was hilarious. Thank you, Swift Current, for standing up for what's right and the Saskatchewan way. I.e., this is the way we are. If you don't like it, go jump in the lake. That's the way it used to be around here. And in Swift Current, if you want a more Wild West way of doing things, that's Swift Current. So I'm disappointed that the Riders would have to discipline their own mascot because one snowflake in Edmonton who happens to be an Eskimo fan, and I question her stability to begin with if you check her Twitter timeline, is upset at our mascot. It has nothing even to do with you. And you force the Riders to discipline their own mascot who's been doing this for 30 years. I hope I feel better now.
Do you?
Marginally. Oh, Trent, writing us from Norway. It's evening over there. Back in Norway after a family trip to Denmark and Germany. Support Gaynor. Riders, let Gaynor be. Forget about being politically correct. That is from Norway chiming in on the Gaynorgate. The latest Gaynorgate. Oh, and by the way, that's enough for the opening warm-up here on the program. Marshall Hamilton will join us next. We've got actual football to talk about today because that's what everybody wants. On all these shows across the land that I'm on, people are saying, what's the mood in the Rider Nation after the big win over the BC Lions Saturday night? We'll talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
The BC Lions have signed two CFL veterans, potentially trying to follow the path of 2011 when they started 1-5, signed two CFL veterans, and it sparked them on their way to winning the Grey Cup that very same year. We'll talk about that with Marshall and a whole lot more. This has been the warm-up. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live, rodpeterson.com, and podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Always love those raw moments from Rod when he gets going on a subject and really gets to just unload whatever's on his chest. That's fun.
Yeah, and it was really hard to pick one rant to put into this best of the show clip. But since this one had two and he was just fired up that morning, it was kind of it just seemed natural to pick that one. But head to our YouTube page. We have a full playlist of every single Rod's rant throughout our first 45. go check them all out. They're all worth watching. Some of them are just a couple minutes, minute and a half, whatever. Super easy to watch them all, and I think you'll get a kick out of a lot of what he has to say.
YouTube.com/The Rod Peterson Show. Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. Fill it up. It's a direct line to Rod, and he'll read them all tomorrow morning because I don't think he's picking up his phone on vacation, but he's back in the morning, so he'll get those all and potentially read the best ones on the show tomorrow. Also, we'll have a new daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center tomorrow. So suggestions are always welcome in the Facebook feed or on the Prairie Mobile text line. Want to say hello to everybody watching on the Prairie Mobile text line, or sorry, watching on the text line, didn't make sense. Watching on the Facebook feed.
There we go.
And thanks for your comments here this morning. Back to our final moment from the best of the first 45 episodes. Have we missed your favorite moment? I know there's lots from in studio, lots of laughs. Let us know on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777, or let us know in the Facebook feed your favorite moment, and could be in our next best of segments with more great moments still to come. But enemy number one, public enemy number one in Ryderville for a number of years was always Smiling Hank, wasn't it, Clark?
Yeah, and the reason why is because he beat you and he smiled on the way out. And everybody loved doing the Henry chant. And while we had Henry on during this segment, our comment feed was just scrolling with Henry's.
Canada's Michael Strahan with that distinct smile. Not the toothless smile, but the distinct smile.
Yeah, and it's funny that this clip, the reason we picked this clip, Henry's been on twice. Both times have been great. But the reason we picked this clip over a bunch of other clips for the show was that this wasn't supposed to be a segment about Henry. This was supposed to be queuing up Thursday night football and the week of football. And we were just going to talk about football. And then somebody commented, talk about being a villain. And I think Kelly Rempel was in this seat, and he, at the beginning of the show, said, I'm going to ask Henry about being a villain. And we said, do it, Kelly. So he had his moment, and he let it go. And what happened after that question that Kelly asked was the reason why we thought this was the best clip, is because it came from a question that everybody wanted to ask but never did, and Kelly asked it. And Henry answered a very good answer. So that's why we picked this one.
Yeah, Henry Burris, he's one of the greats. He's really taken off as a media personality now. How can you not like Smiling Hank? So let's get to the clip. Henry Burris from July 25th, episode 39 on the Best of the RP Show.
So week 7 of the CFL opens tonight with a doubleheader, and to help us preview it, let's bring in from Toronto the CFL on TSN's Henry Burris. Good morning, or I guess I should say to you, good afternoon, Hank. How are you?
Hey, doing good. How's it going, big man? You look good there in Regina.
Feeling good, feeling fresh this morning, Hank. Ready to watch some football, which reminds, so are you in Toronto for the panel, or are you in your home in Ottawa and, you know, getting ready for the game tonight?
No, I actually just landed here in Toronto, getting ready for the panel. I'll report there at 5 o'clock, get ready to do any SportsCenter hits, which will lead into our first doubleheader for Thursday night football, which I feel are going to be two great games. And who knows, maybe an upset in the making tonight.
I think that they're going to be great games too, and I'll be watching 6 hours of it. Hank, take us inside the CFL on TSN thing. Like, so you got to meet probably ahead of that. Like, what's your pre-game ritual on the panel there?
Well, I mean, it starts on Monday first thing. You know, we typically have an hour to 2 hour phone meeting where all the different personalities and producers behind the scene, we just kind of do a recap of the week before and how things went and where we can make some improvements. I mean, it's almost just like a you know, kind of the wrap-up meeting each week that every team across the league goes through as far as trying to improve the product and get better week in and week out. And then we talk about all the different news stories that are out there that we can possibly harp on as far as when the show comes about, and allow everybody to throw their thoughts in, because that's one of the, you know, intriguing and fun parts about doing this job is, you know, playing the game of football and now seeing it from a different perspective. You're able to actually give your 2 cents, and that helps build the show come game day, which kicks off tonight, Thursday through Saturday. But yeah, every day we're at work, we're trying to come up with different clips, look for different weaknesses on other teams, just as if we were game planning as players and coaches, and try to come up with different ideas that, you know, to try to, you know, bridge the gap between the fans and the game coming up, and kind of set up, you know, the different perspectives and add a little drama to it as far as some of the things that they might see on what can help turn the bad teams around, and also can help make the teams that are out of this world right now, like Winnipeg, can help bring them back to earth. But again, it's just kind of part of the job that I really enjoy, and you know, I'm thankful to have this opportunity.
How much say do you guys have on who gets to go on the road to, you know, to Regina, or, you know, destinations for Labor Day, things like that? And how much do you enjoy getting out of the studio?
Oh, I love getting out of the studio just to be around that atmosphere. And I know the only problem is for the panel right now, it seems like wherever we go, there seems to be a weather delay. And so keeping us in the studio is probably the best thing to do. But anytime you get a chance to be in that atmosphere and to be a part of the experience, the game day experience, and to be around that crowd, to feed off that energy, and just to see how people are for football. Because I know in a few weeks we'll be in Hamilton for the Hall of the Hall of Fame game. So always when we get a chance to go out and meet the public and be a part of the experience and be there at a stadium across the league, it's always an added experience as far as for ourselves in that case, because those are things that you never forget about as far as just the daily interaction with the fans as well, instead of sitting in a studio just trying to create your own energy.
Okay. Speaking of creating energy and experiences, Henry, we talked in hour one and I was fully transparent that I was one of the many 30,000 back
Henry.
In the day, giving you that, you know, trying to throw you off your game. I never booed you, but I used to get in on the Henry stuff. And we started talking about, you know, every story, every movie has to have, you know, a good guy and a bad guy, and you became the bad guy. But I would also argue that in order to really get that emotionally engaged in booing or, you know, the whole Henry stuff, you had to love a guy in the first place, or you wouldn't be able to create the emotion to then boo them. So thinking back, were those good times for you? Was there a little part of you that were hurt by not negativity, but the Henry stuff and the how people were so angry with you when you left us? Or did you embrace it and enjoy it? Like, what was going through your head during that time? Because nobody created, you know, the kind of atmosphere that you did back in the day.
Well, I think the only part that really hurt is the fact that the truth wasn't out there. And that's something whenever I had a chance to come back and speak, I always try to share that as far as my testimonial or my presentation, because, you know, to me, you know, as a player, sometimes, I mean, we don't write contracts and do those types of things. We only play the game to play, and we have agents who handle the business side of things. And that's why I tip my hat off to Kawhi Leonard, because I love the fact that he said, you know, not putting anything out there. And when it comes to that point, you pretty much need to separate from the organization. And, you know, when they're pretty much saying, hey, if they want to be here, they'll be here. Well, if a player really wants to be there, they'll be there. But it's a 50-50 agreement. And that's kind of the part that I was sad about, because I came back there after my NFL journey, and because I wanted to be there and I wanted to sign a long-term deal. But unfortunately, that wasn't in the making of the organization at that time. They had Nealon, and that's who they settled with. But my thing was, I loved coming back there and playing, because, you know, to me, it was a love-hate relationship, because we loved each other deeply as far as myself and being in Regina, the fan base, the Rider Nation, and not being able to be a part of that. So come game day, we both hated each other because I wanted to be there. The fans hated that I was in an opposite color jersey. I hated because I wasn't still in green, but I still had to do my job. And I feel like now I need to come back there because everybody hates Gander now. So I think I need to come back and take the photo of my Gander. But you know, at the end of the day, I loved it. And to me, if we can figure out a way to get the CFL game back to those times, I mean, where, you know, people went to bed excited about game days and, you know, dreaming about what was to come for the next day, we need to get back. Because right now, when you go to bed, what are truly the circumstances that you wake up each and every day that you can't wait to see on game day? We need to get that feeling back. And that's something that I feel right now is truly missing in the CFL game. But those days right there, those are some of the most memorable games that I'll always talk about, even when I'm 60, 70, 80 years old and also laying in my coffin. I'll resort back to those great memories.
Hank, you just nailed it. That is an awesome piece right there. And we do need to get back to that. I don't know how it happens, but I do hope we get back to that one day. By the way, what we love about this show is the viewers can chime in with questions. So we got a few here. One from Aaron in Yorkton wants to know, what made you want to get into the media?
Well, while I was at university, I actually wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. I wanted to be a sports doctor if I didn't get a chance to live out my professional dream. But I know when I was talking to our resource manager, my advisor at school, and she pretty much let me know that, Hank, you know, if you're going to play professional football, it'll be till about 33 to 35 years old when you graduate from medical school. And I was like, that's like a third of my life. I don't want to be in school that long. And so I ended up either going into politics or going into media. And, you know, she talked about how I was well-spoken and had I given media a try. And I was like, you know, let me check it out and see how it is. And next thing you know, after a couple of theater classes and doing a few other courses within media and, you know, having fun, I knew for me it was inevitable. I had to become part of the media. And that's why during the off seasons, regardless if I was there, with CTV in Regina or to Global Toronto or now with TSN, every opportunity I had during my playing career, especially during the off seasons or in the post seasons that I wasn't a part of, I had to give that an opportunity and build my resume, build my experience and get those needed reps in. And so creating that bridge of opportunity for myself for once football had concluded, it was the best decision that I had ever made.
You know, I wanted to talk football with you, but all the viewers want to talk about you, which is cool, too. So, which is fun. You know what? They'll get the football on the panel over the next 4 days. So let's talk about you. Somebody else wants to know. They're all chanting Henry. If you saw the Facebook string, you would know it. Hank, they want to know if it bothered you, if it ever bothered you. Because it didn't. It followed you to Hamilton and then Ottawa. Like, it's so much fun. Did it bother you? And it wasn't just on the field, by the way. I've been with you when people would break out on the street, you know, on a bus. Did it bug you?
No, it actually made me focus more. I can say there is one instance where it did bug me. And yeah, I was pretty ticked off about it. Was the 2013 Grey Cup. I mean, it seemed like nothing went right for us. We had to play the devil in hell in that game. And we knew what we were in for. And the fact that you guys got every bounce that night, you know, albeit the Corey Sheet bounce after Darren Durant fumble. And we're thinking, here we go. Oh, no, there goes Corey Sheets. We're like, oh, no, it's going to be one of those types of nights. And that was probably the only game where it bugged the entire team, including myself, at the end of the day. But honestly, when people are chanting your name, it only makes you focus that much more to try to hush up the crowd. And so, it never bugged me. It never bothered me. You know, whenever people said things behind the bench, all I ever said was, let's make sure that you can talk about me now, but you better have a beer at the bar for me at Houlihan when the game's over, just so we can make sure we get reminisce all the good times.
Hank, look, I know time is tight. We are having a lot of fun, but I'll let you get back to work. Thanks for this. You know, we'll be watching, and thanks for your time today, my man. Stay in touch.
Hey, anytime, guys. Hey, always great talking to you, Rod. Hey, keep delivering the good news like you do, brother. Always love listening to you guys.
Trying. Thanks, Hank. The natural Henry Burris joining us from Toronto today.
Well, that was fun with Henry Burris. Yes, he was the villain. I don't think he is anymore. I think we love Henry. Of course we do. How can you not love Smiling Hank? Man, that is it 9 clips? Best of 45 episodes. We could do this for hours going through the best of the show. Just start on episode 1 and roll right through. We didn't even have that many in the video chat, which we could have went even deeper on that. So great job, producer Clark, Jordan as well. I'm Darren DuPont in for Rod Peterson. One last time, take care of some business. Prairie Mobile text line still open. Direct line to Rod, 306-840-8777. Put that in your phones and... you can text Rod any time, and he'll answer them. Here, I don't think he's got his phone, though, on vacation. So tomorrow morning, I want that flooded for him when he gets in. Time's running out to join us in Houston. RodPeterson.com/trip is we're going to Houston, and we're joining a cast of characters. I know Rob Vanstone from The Leader Post is coming. Don Narcisse will be there, the rider legend. George Cortez there as well. Going to catch up with Danny Barrett, Brian Peters of the Houston Texans now. We got VIP treatment at the game. Backstage stuff with the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos. That's going to be cool. We're going to see the Houston Rockets in NBA action, NCAA football, high school football, and more. So looking forward to it in Houston, December 5th to the 10th, rodpeterson.com/trip. Wow. 45 episodes. This is episode 46. So much has happened. Clark, our producer, is alongside. Can you preview a little bit of the next 45 episodes?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot planned out.
How do you top this?
This week will be good. We have quite a few guys coming in, a couple more alumni guys, for the Leafs fans, Steve Dangle is going to be on the show.
Cool.
If anyone knows who he is, I mean, if you're a Leafs fan, you probably do, but he's awesome. Looking forward to having him. Baron Simpson's coming up pretty soon, so we'll have the Minister of Defense for that. And we got lots more. I can't think off the top of my head. We've been sitting here for 2 hours.
I know. But,
the board in the back will tell the tale, and I'll make sure to let everybody know. It's going to be another fun week. And then, as I always say, if you want to see someone on the show, just send it in the comments, and I'll see what I can do.
What's your personal social media? You got to get that out there.
At Clark Twitter Monroe on Twitter. So you can definitely go and tweet me if you want, or tag somebody in a tweet and see if they respond or whatever. So, but always the Rod Peters show account is the best way to kind of get a hold of me on show stuff.
Let's keep talking. You know what I didn't do? RodPetersonShop.com is open. You want one of the mugs that are on the air, and I can't believe it. I'm not using one right now. I got the stupid paper cup.
Water bottle.
But we got water bottles. RodPetersonShop.com. Get your stickers, get your mugs. RodPetersonShop.com. All right, we got to get off the air. That is it. Enjoy the rest of your holiday Monday. I hope you enjoyed the best of the RP show. And again, if you missed anything, back in the podcast, you can listen to it on the podcast, and you can watch here on Facebook, YouTube, everywhere else. See you tomorrow for a brand new Rod Peterson show. I am out. I'm going to Montreal, but Rod will be back in this chair tomorrow for an all new Rod Peterson show here on Facebook Live and RodPeterson.com. I'm not throwing the pen. No, I can't.
Sorry for Mike Riley last night. Walking off the field, he looked so disappointed.
The show's over, Lynch.
And hurt. Oh, is it? Okay.
Stop talking football.